All right, it's a good morning. Welcome to Realm of welcome to Tech Ego. It's not Realm of the Historic, sorry. Welcome to Tech Ego, and we deal with, you know, technology, just trying to make sense of it, you know. And getting the ins and outs of technology, the ups and downs. Today, of course, yesterday we looked at technology with a human hand. You know that there must be a human face when it comes to technology. And today we are moving a bit different. We are going to look at the four technologies that are very important. When it comes to digital, when we are talking about digital technology, we mean four major, you know, technology that are driving the digital sector, or that are, you know, that are necessary for one to digitize. And I'm going to go through one by one and see, you know, the pros and the cons of, because each technology, and we see if, you know, Namibia is at that level, you know, if Namibia is at that level, and we then discuss how can Namibia, you know, leverage some of these technologies. And on a positive note, you know, Namibia is one of the countries in Africa that, you know, are far ahead as far as, you know, digital infrastructure, certain infrastructure, especially the ICT infrastructure. And the ICT issue, I'm not going to touch it yet, because I want to invite somebody who can come and talk about the ICT issue in full details, you know. I want to invite the person who will come and talk about the issue of ICT in full detail. When we talk about, you know, ICT, we include towers, you know, frequency, network, and spectrum, and all that. I know that we did that, you know, last year when we spoke to, you know, the manager of in Powercom, CEO of Powercom, and we were just looking at infrastructure sharing, and we will now get to the issue of, you know, the economy of ICT, how it involves the, you know, the economy, you know, the role it plays, you know, in the economic growth of the country. So that's what we are, you know, that's what we are hoping for, to have a discussion. You know, we are hoping to have that discussion. So I'm not going to touch that area yet until we get an expert. Now, this one, when we look at the elements that are involved, you know, when it comes to the enablers, you know, the enablers, when you as a business or a company want to develop, you know, innovative productive, or I mean innovative products, you know, that you want to drive growth, you will need digital infrastructure. Now, one of the most important element in the infrastructure is called data. And then we also have data itself, but then we also look at it as, you know, from the analytics, the data analytics. When, you know, people are able, when your business is able to gather information, analyze it, you know, scrutinize it very well, sift it well, study it, and come up with a comprehensive strategic plan on how you are able to help to deal with your customers. You know, how you are able to deal with your customers. You get information, data from your customers, you sit down, you analyze it, and then you are able to strategize. What is the need of your customer? What do they want? Are you able to meet it? Are you able to meet their need? Are you able to, you know, solve their problems? Are you able to solve the challenges? And this does not only, you know, come from a business company that is, you know, profit driven. Even a non-profit organization, maybe you are running a foundation, you also have customers, even though you don't make profit. The people to whom you render your services, I would classify them as customers because they come to you for services. If you understand your customers and you understand their needs, then you are able to understand how, you know, to come up with the plan, you know, to solve and help them. And if you can meet the help, you can meet the needs of your customer, then that's what we call growth. Growth is not only when you are able to make money, but it's also when you are able to understand your customers and, you know, understand their needs and meet it or meet them. Now the problem the you know departments or the businesses which are private companies could really thrive, you know, when it comes to data data analytics or collecting data, but the problem is with public, you know, enterprises, for example, or with state-owned enterprises. This is where much challenge is, because of a slow pace, you know, in digitization. You find a government website. Since they posted something was the last time they posted something was 6 months ago. So it seems there's nothing new. You know, you cannot go to a certain government website to get a new information. You cannot find the new information. Now, let me give you something, because when we post, you know, news stories, you know, it's part of data that we generate and we collect, we put it there. So if you check on our Facebook page, every time there is something new there. So every time there is something new going on, they say a news. Now imagine if this was information or this was a shop, you know, and there is another shop that hardly posts. There is a website, but you can hardly find a new product or any improved, you know, any improvement in terms of information. If you log in, you always find the old information. Every time it's just old information. So customers will tend to shift to a vibrant company, which is ever, you know, when they are ever posting, or they say, you know, a new product out. Have you seen it? You know, they inform you about everything, every time, or all the time. While you find a dormant website, and when you get there, or when you try to call, you are referred to a website. Just visit our website, but there is nothing on the website. So if you do that to customers, they will move. Because in this digital world, customers are also aware of the type of services they want and how they want to be served. So they are also aware of what they want and how they want it. So they are aware of what they want, how they want it, and when they want it. They want it in real time. And, you know, the only sector really that has done well, I could say they've done well, is a financial sector, you know, because they have decentralized their services through applications. So they have decentralized their services through applications, and you just have a mobile app that you can use to access your banking facility. That's really an amazing, and everybody has a personalized, you know, access to their banks, to their bank account. You are able to transfer money via various ways and platforms. The challenges of data analytics. Or maybe we can say, you know, in this world, it's easy to gather data than in those days, because now you don't need to go to Katima to understand something. Things, there is information. If you type Katima now, you get a lot of, you know, sites with different information about Katima or about Oshakati. So everything is about to be, you know, everything is about to be digital. So it's easy for information to be, you know, for one to gather information. But there's still, you know, a physical, there are still places where you need to be physically there. And, you know, that's still, for example, if you are doing construction, you need somebody to do survey, land survey, and to do visibility studies, and all that goes with it. But in the world to come, according to the projection, they are saying that technology might change. The robotics might be, you know, involved in, you know, serving, in surveying land. And, you know, these feasibility studies that costs million. A small area will cost around 5 million, 6 million for the so-called feasibility studies. And then feasibility studies are done, and then the project never continues because there is no money. But millions were spent on the feasibility studies. And that data, for somebody to come and continue with where they have left, that data will not be found. But millions were spent. So that data will not be found, but millions were spent. Now, what do you do with the data after, you know, analyzing it? After studying the data, you store the data. And where do you stay to store data? When you want to become a data centric company, that you know, through which you understand your customers very well, after properly gathering data, you then need that data needs to be stored, because data analytics and the findings thereof involves the buying behaviors of your customers and their preferences. So you understand when to make a sale, you know, when to go for a sale, because you know your buying behaviors of your customer, when to increase the price, when to reduce the price, and all that. You understand, because you have information, you have data. You can use the data that you have to optimize operation and, you know, maximize or minimize, you know, supply chain, or broaden it, or you can also use it for marketing, because you have information. You know whom you are looking for. You know your target. You know your target audiences when you want to advertise something, because you have the information on that. Now, most of us, or most, you know, state-owned enterprise, when they don't, and we talk about them not doing well, and most of us think maybe it's a leadership problem, and we look at it as a leadership crisis, then we change one CEO to the other, from one CEO to the other, or shifting them around. But could it be that there is no data? We don't understand the people that we are supposed to serve. Do we understand them? Do we have information about them? You know, if you are a municipality and you have, you know, 40 million, you know, you owe water. You owe the water, you owe NAM Water, for example, 40 billion. I mean, 40 million. How did it get to that, to 40 million? And do you understand your people as a municipality or as a town council? Do you know your people? Do you understand the people's buying power or buying behavior? And in this case, let's use paying power and paying behavior, because they come and pay for water. So is there any information in your database, you know, on your database, is there any information about the residents of your town? You know, did you make a research and find out that if you, for example, introduce a new paying system, did you make any research that it will work? Do you have any information about the residents as a town council? I think I will focus on this one, you know, data, information. Because when you don't have information about the people that you are dealing with, you will be in a problem, because you are dealing with the people you don't know. So do you know the people as a town council? You know, for you to have arrived to owe $40 million in debt. Do you understand the cause? Because the cause would be the people are not paying water, you know, are not paying for municipal services. But do you have any information based on your research that on their buying or buying power, or let's say buying behavior and preferences and affordability of those services that you want to, even when you want to introduce, you know, new services, do you have information, you know, based on the research and statistics, you know, where you have data that you come as a town council, you just sit down and you analyze to say, okay, according to this data, we have so and so people who can afford these services. Now, how many people can afford? Or how many? What is the population of the town? Let's say it's 20,000. But with this 20,000, it's only maybe 1,000 people that can afford that services, those services. So are you able to, based on that data, then you can decide whether you want to bring in the services or not, if you are to make, you know, you are to generate revenue. Most government institutions or enterprises, they become charity organization. They fail to generate income or revenue because not of lack of leadership, it's because of lack of data. You know, you don't have the information of, you don't understand the people that you are dealing with. You know? And this is the same with urbanization. Urbanization that is driven by political, you know, will. And
it's Tuesday. Oh my, and my fuel tank only has a drop of fuel, but I need to get my municipal bill at the post office. What do I do now?
Well, Ongwediva Town Council has just the solution, as it has commenced issuing municipal bills electronically through SMSs and emails, while gradually phasing out the traditional method of sending bills through post mails. Ongwediva residents with municipal accounts are expected to visit the office to verify and update their information during working hours from Monday to Friday before 30 June 2022. Property owners should bring along certified copies of their identity document and water bills. Receive your municipal bill on time and pay for services delivered for continued maintenance and development of Ongwediva Town. For further information, please contact our office at 065-233-700 or email us at inquiry@otc.com.na.
You know, when people only, when we urbanize, in order for us to go and, you know, for a rally to say, look, Okamatapati was a village, now it is a town. You know, when you are saying Okamatapati was a village, now it is a town, politically, that's a milestone. You know, that's a milestone. Oh, this party has done well. He has changed Ochechekwa into a village, from a village into a town. But economically and practically, was it based on the data? Or was it based on what data? So what led? And, you know, most villages that are applying, you know, for approval to become settlement, and then they also apply to be recognized as village councils, and then they also apply to be recognized as town councils. This always goes back to burden a ministry. I'm not a spokesperson of the ministry, but I'm just saying from what I have observed. So this goes to burden the ministry or government. Why? Because when you are applying to be recognized as a village council, you are only looking at the right, you know, the right to have access to developmental activities. But you are not looking at the data. You don't have any data in terms of whether or not you have the capacity to grow. You know, do you have the capacity to become a village council? So, if you become a village council, the services that you are going to render in that village council, how many people can afford? You know, how many people can afford the plot? How many people can afford electricity and water? Because all those sewer, whatever municipal services are to be paid for in an urban setting. But do you have data as a village? Or you are just happy because a Nana is a town, you also want to be a town. But do you understand that things must be based on data? And that's why you find people designing a town and the, you know, reticulation system and the water supply system for 10,000 people. And at the end of the day, the people that are in there are 50,000. So the whole system becomes overwhelmed because there is no enough data. Or, you know, we are only politically, you know, driven. A practical example that I can give to you is the sanctions that was put on Russia now. The most people who decided to put the sanctions on Russia were not economists. They were politicians. So, and when there is a political, when there is a political decision that is driven by, you know, an agenda of a NATO whatever thing, it landed us into a point where the African Union is calling for Russia to ease the blockade because there is no wheat coming in and food prices are going high. Because people did not want to listen to data on the ground to say, look, these sanctions will bring us more problem. These sanctions will bring us more problems. So now, one of the agenda of Biden's tour into the Middle East now to Saudi Arabia is to convince the Saudis to at least increase their oil output. Because all avenues have failed. They are now $6 per liter in America, or per gallon, how they measure it. $6 paying for fuel. It seems that the Venezuela issue did not work out. So switching off gas in Europe, is it based on data or is it a political decision? So those are the things that are very, very important when one is making a decision. You need to have data. You need to be governed by information. Did you make enough research? You know, and is this research accurate? Are these results, you know, accurate? Are you able to sustain the type of technology that you want to have in your company? Is it sustainable? You know, is it coming to really, how much is it coming to contribute in terms of your revenue, you know, collection and profit? how much is it coming to contribute? Or is it just coming to be a decor in your office? And by the time you install it, you realize you can't even use it. So what is motivating change? You know, what is motivating the change that we want? Even the expo that is just, you know, that has just finished. Do we have enough information or data that, you know, transforming into fourth industrial revolution, you weigh the benefits versus the challenges? Do we have information on that? You know, that when we go to this and do we have the information to that, that we need, you know, if we are talking about investors, what investment we know that they are coming to invest in tourism sector and all that, but do we have enough information about them? You know, do we have enough information about them? Or if somebody say, no, I'm coming to invest, we all say, okay, then Namibia is open. Open door policy. Before you know, there are people marching to whatever complex to, you know, threatening to ban it. Because at the end of the day, you also realize that this person is not even an investor. It's somebody else. So that, the dangers of making decisions without data. The countries seem to have data, you know, like the OPEC countries. Most of them are a little bit skeptical of, you know, increasing their oil production. Because they seem to have data that they might run out of. You know, they might produce too much and run out. They want to keep making money. And the Indians were too excited, you know, at the beginning when Russia and Ukraine was Russia's wheat. They say we can supply. Now they are saying we are putting a ban on export. Because they realize it was a political decision. It was not based on data. So when data came, it told them, you don't have enough wheat to export. So you also don't have enough sugar to export out. There's the same mistake that was almost made by Nigeria by trying to ban the import of milk product. When data came, told them, you can't ban dairy product. You don't have enough locally. So even if we say now we want to ban import of good, do we have enough locally? And can we sustain the market? So data comes to give direction. When you have correct data, you have direction as to what you need to do, when and how you need to do it. So if you just declare things, if you just declare things like you are God, it will turn up that what you declare may not work. And that's why sometimes we are classified as false, you know, false people, because we promise things that we do not work. But when you have data before decision, you will make a decision based on, you know, correct information that you have at your disposal. Right. 19 minutes to 12. That's the time here. If you want to be part of the conversation, 083-288-401. 083-288-401. That's the number in studio. And you also need data, you know, when you are trying to apply for a course, you also need to understand, by the time I'm done graduating, will I get a job with this type of course that I have? Because, you know, our education is designed that you must go and study to get a job. So that's an education that we have, is to study and to go and get a job. But then you also need to understand that the course that you are taking now, and if you are in the first year, maybe you are doing 4 years, 3 years to come after you're graduating, will you still find demand for that qualification? Or will you have found the world to have moved on with new skills? That's why people do courses, and after graduating, they go back again to study. How much money is that? Tuition fees? A lot of money. So for you not to waste money, you need to have information to say what is, you know, the demand now, and what is likely to be the demand or to be on demand, you know, in 2024 or 2025, 3 years from now. Like when I was giving you a list of phones that, you know, will support Android 13. I was telling you that if you have an iPhone, a Samsung A33, for example, or a Samsung A71, you will use it till 2027. And if you have from A50 somewhere going down, you will use it till 2026. And, you know, by that time, you might need to get a new phone because it might not be able to, you know, upgrade to a new operating system. And what is a phone if it can't upgrade to a new system? That becomes an MP3 player. Yes.
Yes. Good morning, Franz. How are you?
Morning, morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I just wanted to contribute on that issue of technology and the economy or business or whatever. The 2003 that came out to critical there, and they are very important. The issue of really data, how you perhaps maybe gathering might be a problem. Just even to
the people on your data. Background. The people who are talking on the background are competing with your voice here.
Oh, I think it's enough, fine. So we can now go ahead.
Yeah.
So what I was trying to say is that the information is very important in terms of analyzing and interpreting, actually, because you also need to interpret the information very well that are based on the needs and then of the customers and also for the competitors. That element of the computer is very, very important so that you know when and how you can drive your way through. So, these are some of the very, very important, because even national statistic agents, there are so many much information that we are getting provided by you, even in the news and maybe journals, newspapers. Do we make use of this information? I don't think so. So thank you very much, Franz. Okay.
Thank you very much. All right, you can come through 0832888401 and make sure that you know where you are is a free place, because one thing that I'm afraid of is to hear somebody saying other things and it comes on radio here. Because, you know, when you are there and people are talking to each other and, you know, there is no handbrake in words. You know, there are no breaks. So somebody might mention one or two things here that might be acidic to the ears. So make sure that wherever you are, when you are calling, it's a free area, it's a free place. Or you ask those people and say, please, I'm talking on the radio. Yeah. So information is very, 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 very important. And that is one thing that we don't, you know, want. Yes.
Yes, Franz, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right, Franz.
Yes.
Franz, I just also want to add something when I come to a topic. You know, Franz, I just want to ask you a question, like, if you think African country, we make a decision according to data, or we just do it randomly?
It will be dangerous for me to answer your question because it's a general question.
No, but it's just for your understanding.
Yeah, but there are a lot of decisions that are made in Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe we'll for us to be safe, we must judge them by the outcome.
Okay. Let them say maybe when it comes to economics, the way we do things, if we do things according to the information which is there, or just in general like that.
No, you know, there are mistakes.
Yeah.
That are done just like any continent.
Yeah.
And I want to give you a good news that Africa is one of the fast growing economies as we speak now.
Mm.
Yeah. And of course there are mistakes that are made just like the West made, just like the West are making mistakes, and they are the richest countries. And those mistakes that they are making are coming to bite them, like the food prices that is now going on.
Yeah, I do understand that one, Master Fan. Let me bring it home. When I come to Namibia, are we making a decision which is very accurate and according to time frame which we are in? Or just making a decision without even analyzing and having also the data which is available for us? And you might be asking me why I'm saying so, Master Franz.
Why are you saying that, sir?
Yeah, I can bring it down to layman, precisely where everybody can understand. You know, Master Franz, with a sea in Namibia. Look, how many sea we are exporting? And the one which are enjoying in the locally.
You have what?
The sea.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the fish which we are exporting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm looking at the local which we are, local people are benefiting out of, like, the fish which, just to eat in general.
Mm-hmm.
The one which is available here.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of, if we really were supposed to export the white surplus, isn't it? Once the people, local people, like they have enough, then the surplus we're going to export. Is it supposed to work like that?
You are missing a point there.
Seriously?
Because when you are saying, because the export that is going on is not preventing any local person from buying fish.
Yeah, exactly. It's about to be like that.
No, I'm saying the export outside, exporting fish outside is not standing on your way, you know, to buy fish from any factory that you want.
Yeah. But
I don't understand when you are saying there must be export when there is enough locally.
Yeah. Listen, Master Flans. Are you saying is the fish available for us to buy at the factory or wherever?
My brother, fish is everywhere. You can buy fish anywhere.
Master Flans, seriously? Can I get a manga in Windows?
What?
Manga fish. A manga.
Why not?
Where, Master Price? Where can you get it?
No, but my brother, do you know all the fish, all the fish outlets in here? Do you know everything they sell?
I do, Master France. You know, like you can go to Pick and Pay, you only find the angel fish and the. I'm talking about the fish which are more expensive now, Haika and others. But Monga, I bet you, Master France.
All right, I'm afraid we might divert this conversation into something else, but
okay. Let me just in general also just because the thing which I'm trying to say is that we make a decision without collecting so much data, and it's what is happening currently in our country. Most of things which are happening here, look how many like next year. You see now people are starting already registering their kids. So coming a calendar for next year. And mind you, most of them are parents, are laid back, and they are waiting January to come. And once January to come is where you see them, a lot of them, they will be left out for school. Because we are not really a collective time. And it's where I'm fascinating when it comes to African countries. It's where it is happening mostly.
All right. Thank you very much.
That is my point, my Master France.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
Right, you can come through 083-288-401. That's a number in studio. It's still having. I can take two more calls. 7 minutes to go. I can take two more calls, 7 minutes to go. If you, you want to be part of the conversation. Yes.
Yeah, let me conclude my point. So if there are no fish there for that type, is that not an opportunity for economic development? You can even use technology to fill that gap. But at the issue of export, exporting of fish or any other things or services or whatever we can export. Is there a reason not for us to get foreign exchange?
No, look, I don't want to get into economics.
Yeah, we are talking about economic of internet.
Let's not get to that.
Internet
because,
economy, internet economy, whether it's e-commerce.
Yes, but e-commerce is not what I'm talking about today. I was talking about data-driven decisions. And
so once you have the time, then you can use them for what?
I don't want to be diverted, please.
No. Data, we use data for development. Nothing else.
Uncle Bwana, thank you very much.
No, I'm saying, okay.
Yeah, I don't want you guys to come here and, dictate where I must go. I need to go where I'm supposed to go. Because we are talking about, when you need to make a decision, when you are saying, we are moving digital, are you sure, according to the information, the data on the ground, the research that you have made, how many people are going to follow you? When you make a decision without information or data, you're like parents, mother and father waking up and knocking on everybody's door at 4 o'clock a.m. Hey, wake up. And somebody saying, wake up for what? No, there's no time to waste. Wake up, we are already late. We are supposed to be at the farm. So, no, but whom did you tell that you were going to the farm? So you didn't tell us that you were going to the farm. And we have programs to, I'm going to school. I have a class. So because you did not understand the schedule, you will make a decision, and it's going to be disastrous because we don't understand the formation on the ground. What you are saying there is not on the ground. So if you are having to make a decision, you make a decision based on, the data. So you are likely not to go with anybody to the farm because you did not inform everyone. They don't have information on your programs. So, and you know, in any development, you are likely to have a lot of people marginalized because these people cannot get to the pace at which you are. And then that becomes a problem. And if you have, for example, the example that I gave earlier, to say, if you are growing as a village, a community, you know, you need to find out, okay, for our community, what the services, the type of services that we need are A, B, C, D. Because you have data that tells you that this information is affordable, you know, almost by everyone. So you cannot bring the services that are done in Windhoek and you want to dump them in Omitara or Okamatapati in the name of development, that you are taking development to the people. Those people might not be able to afford the type of development and services that you are bringing in. So it has to be, you know, it has to do to be with data. It has to be, you know, we have to have data that guides the information. And tomorrow then we'll continue on technology number two. You know, we will continue on technology number two when it comes to, you know, when it comes to growth and economic growth, whether it's a business or a company, or business company, or an enterprise owned by the state, or, you know, a government itself. Right. And after an ad, I'll come and say my goodbyes.
Being circumcised keeps it clean and reduces a man's risk of getting sexually transmitted infections, including HIV. It's safe and it's free. Man up. Get the smart cut. To book for a free circumcision or to find out more, WhatsApp 0. Or visit us on Facebook at BMMC Namibia.
All right, exactly, you know, 12 o'clock. But one thing that I want to encourage us, you know, when it comes to data information, I want to encourage us to, you know, I listen even on many programs, and sometimes we, you know what is important? In the world that we are in now, information is very important, and correct information. At least take some time, you know, to read. Don't just hear a person who said this and you want to come and it makes it a little bit difficult, you know, but when you have read and you understand, it gives you more advantage. You are able to get into, you know, a conversation because you understand what, you know, it is all about. But if you only hear, and we hear information and we don't really read, sit down and understand, because there is a level of information where every sentence is very important, when you need to understand sentence by sentence, word by word. So when it comes to data, driven decision making, that's very vital, because otherwise you will do the India way of saying we are going to supply wheat to the world because they looked at profit. We are going to make money. Russia is now closed down. Data came and told them, nope, you can't. You actually, what you have is actually enough for your people. So and say, okay, we are going to ban import, export. So that's, you know, the danger of making decision that is not, you know, decisions that are not driven by data, but it's for you and I. We have a responsibility to at least read, because this world has made it easier for us to have access to information. And having said that, let me say morning to Dwight. I mean, afternoon to Dwight.
Afternoon, Franz.
Yes.
Franz, you'll keep going. You'll have me keep, you know, frowning at the time periods. Technically, you know, it's just a couple of minutes past 12. But nonetheless, how are you doing, Franz?
I have a right to steal your minutes.
well, yeah. It is affordable. I can afford that, you know, those two couple of minutes. How was the program, Franz?
No, they're good. How's it, Dwight? And let me now go because I've already stolen from you. I don't want to be to continue with a minute rot.
Exactly.
There's fish rot. I don't want to be involved in a minute rot.
No problem. No problem, Franz.
Right.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or The Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
But how can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
Or social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye.